Hello, can everybody hear me okay? Okay, good evening. Welcome to SPNR this evening. I'd like to welcome everybody to the meeting and hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are switched off or turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for the discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they may have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they're personally responsible. What's that, Glenn? Okay. Good to go. Thank you, Councillor Hannah. So members are reminded they're personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, to use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I'll bring members in as listed. Just to remind members to keep their instant messages the following letters: Q if you want to ask a question, or C for comment, P for propose, S for second, and please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. So know this evening we do have a mix of members online and in the chamber, so the chat will be used. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the chat facility so we're aware this is an active decision and doesn't indicate connectivity problems. Okay, so have we any apologies this evening?
Yes, Councillor Traynor and
Councillor Traynor
Gallagher.
And Councillor Gallagher, thank you, Councillor Sharvent. Okay, any declarations of interest? No, okay, and then item 3 in the agenda, action sheet arising from SPNR committee held on Thursday the 11th of August 2022. So I'll just go through the pages. So number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and if we can have a proposer and seconder, please, for the action sheet. Okay, proposed by Councillor Sharvin and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. No matters arising. Okay, so on to item 4, assessment performance 2021-22, and we're over to Gerard Byrne for that. Thanks, Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, in front of you is the assessment of performance for the 2021-22 year. So that's detailed at Appendix A. So it's quite a hefty document, so I'm going to take it as read and just really give an overview of what it's about. It really assesses our performance against other councils and really trends over time in both the general duty of improvement. It compares measures of success against our corporate plan 21-23, and also measures of success within the performance improvement plan for 21-22. It also assesses whether we met statutory performance indicators in economic development, planning and waste management. So Appendix 2 then is a sort of a summary document, and it's called Our Performance, Looking Back and Going Forward. And it summarises retrospective assessment of performance and forward-looking performance improvement plan. So that's at Appendix 2. So just to let members know that we have a statutory duty to assess our performance under Part 12 of the Local Government Act. And we also have to publish this on our website prior to the 30th of September this year. After we publish it on our website, the Northern Ireland Audit Office will then conduct a performance-based audit, and then the conclusions of this audit will be reported to the Audit Committee in due course. So really, I'm just asking members to consider and agree the assessment of performance for 21-22, including the summary report, our performance looking back going forward, and that the assessment of performance 21-22 is published by the 30th of September 22 before full council ratification in order to meet the statutory deadline. And just also to make members aware, it will be presented to the audit committee next week also, just for noting. So happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you, Jared. We have a proposal and a comment from Councillor Byrne in the chamber. No, he's not. Sorry, online.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, happy to propose the recommendations and obviously to...
You're on mute. Pete.
Can you hear me now?
Is he not?
Can you hear me now?
Seem to be having a few technical issues, Pete.
I can hear you, Pete.
Yeah. Can you? Yeah. We can hear us at home. It's just in the chamber then. Michael, can you hear me?
Can he hear us though?
Councillor Byrne, can you hear us? We can't hear you. We can see that you're trying to say something, but we can't hear you. He's going to type something.
We'll lip read him. We'll lip read him.
Yes, you can hear us. We can't hear you.
And oh, those online can hear?
Oh.
Where's the IT crowd now when we need them? If you could just bear with us here in the chamber, we'll try and get this resolved for you.
No problem.
So the feedback I'm getting that everybody online can hear each other and you can hear me okay, but we can't hear Pete.
Yeah.
No offence, Pete.
None taken.
I didn't mute you, just for the record.
Do you want to put me on the notes for on your microphone?
Hey, can you speak again there to see what happens?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Nope, still not hearing you.
David, can you speak and see?
You can hear me now.
Yeah,
okay.
Can you hear me? I'm online as well, obviously. Can you hear me?
Marie's going to add IT Wiz to her list of credentials. Okay, go ahead, Pete.
Sorry, Chair, I was actually just going to put in the notes there. I didn't want to hold up the meeting. Yeah, listen, happy to propose. I do think the Appendix 2 is a good, concise publication, and it does summarise some of the good points right across the council. These documents, I always find, are very good to look across all the directorates and our objectives and see where we're either making gains or where we need to actually focus on next year. Obviously, the good news that you've hit the highest visitors in Slieve Gullion, and I know that's in the document that talks about the accounting system. The new accounting system is probably... given more accurate figures, but 462,000 visitors is incredible. And the increased use of the leisure centres, obviously based on COVID last year, that's all the good news. But we do need to make inroads in the Neighbourhood Services Directorate or the Environment Sustainability Directorate in terms of recycling and street cleanliness. We still have our lean score at 64, and I know we're going to be compared with other councils, and the recycling rate is also falling in other councils, and we're sitting at 49%. But we're below the 2020 target, and we're nowhere near reaching the 2030 target of 65%. So that's something that we do need to make inroads next year. And I've no doubt, obviously, with change in director, that we will see improvements in that when we look at this document next year. On the Everybody Active campaign, when it finished in 2020, it was incredibly successful. And we can see from the figures that it was incredibly successful. The targeted programs, to me, looking at those figures, seem not to be working. Is it possible even to... You know, liaise with EFC and Michael Ipsett and maybe return to the Everybody Active campaign in the way it was pre-COVID, because the targeted programme numbers aren't as good, and we do want to get more people getting into our leisure centres. I've also a question on the free play sessions. Obviously, they're not delivered, and that's down in the document to budget and COVID. Now, COVID has largely passed us, so it's probably budget cost. But for a small budget, areas with deprivation will suffer more if those free play programs are not brought back. So if we can look into that, maybe the year ahead. And also just on the business support, 176,000 that business support was from the Rural Development Programme, and members of the RDP had raised since the end of the programme that we need to fill that gap. And hopefully in the year ahead, we do find more funding that will fill that gap, whether it's some fund from UK Levelling Up or whatever, but we do need to fill that gap of 176,000. The last point I do want to make is the Bring It Home campaign, or the Take It Home Bother campaign. Obviously, we had a meeting with the Loud and Newry Strategic Alliance earlier this week, 2 days ago. And obviously, we talked about the Take It Home campaign because it's a cross-border strategy on tackling litter and fly tipping. The engagement, we were told, was pretty poor. We can see it in the figures here. The engagement's just over 300 people. We are looking into that campaign to see if what way we can reach people better. So I suppose the disappointing figures on that, it's something that we did discuss at Loud and Newry Strategic Alliance. So hopefully we can get a wee bit more cut through with the public on that for the year ahead. But yeah, good, concise publication. Happy to propose.
Okay, thank you. And that's seconded by Councillor Murphy. Did you want to make any comments? You're happy enough. And can you hear me now, everybody? Yeah, good. Councillor Sharvin, you have a question?
Yeah, Chair. It's just in relation to the forest parks. And I know in previous occasions this report come before us. Delmont is still not being tracked in any way, and obviously as a council we're planning to invest a lot of money and improve it. I take it we're planning to introduce and track the visitors that are coming to Delmont, and then given that Castlewellan is now going to be a council facility as well, I assume we will also start tracking that as well as part of these reports.
Okay. Is anybody able to?
Yeah, Chair, I'll pick that up with the director. We do track it in the sense of the income coming in. So we do know, I suppose, by reverse engineering our income, how many cars, et cetera, have come through. But I'll see if we're going to put footfall indicators in to both sites.
Okay, so no other questions or comments, so we'll move on. Thank you. So item 5 is Conacre agreements in respect to Castlewellan Forest Park, Torella Beach, Delmont Country Park and Derrybeg Banks, and Fergal O'Connor is going to take this item. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm happy to take the report as read by members and to deal with any issues arising. The purpose is to establish an express an interest in the Connick arrangements in respect of those assets, the four that are detailed in the report. It has been done with other council assets successfully, and the intention is to create a value for money exercise by advertising for expressions of interest for these Conacre lettings. I'm happy to take any questions arising.
Okay, so need a proposer and seconder. I know Councillor McMurray, you have a question.
Yeah, can I ask it?
Yes.
Yep, thank you. Good. I read the report, and it's good to see and generally to be welcomed. Just, I suppose, being very parochial, my questions are in relation to the Castlewellan show field there, as highlighted. I think it's the first one. It says they're only Irish rare breed cattle, and I'm just wondering is that going to hamstring us if we can't get rare Irish breeds in there? So I'm just wondering if that could be, is it any scope to have preferably Irish rare breed cattle, just to know that in that part of the world, seemingly Belted Galloway and Scottish Highland cattle would be sort of generally more the rare breed, but maybe that if there is a concern, and this has also been done for sort of a conservation biodiversity thing, then perhaps if Nature Friendly Farming Network, I think they're quite knowledgeable in this area, that perhaps maybe council officers could liaise with them. Also with regard to the show field, Castlewellan Show, I know Castlewellan Show have been in contact with council and the chair. But I suppose just to sort of highlight, whenever agreement is made, again, because we have taken over the agreement, that Castlewellan Show would take that field from the 1st of July until the end of July. And just if that wouldn't sort of infringe upon any sort of tenancy arrangement, if that makes sense. And the final point, again, would that be that a lot of money was spent in the drainage in that field. And part of the reason why it was wrecked was because heavy machineries were driving over it. And again, just maybe, again, whatever tenancy was taken up, then maybe that could be highlighted to said tenant. So sorry, I appreciate there's a few points in there, and it is quite parochial, the Castlewellan, the show field, but yeah, thank you, Chair.
No problem. Go back to yourself.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I suppose dealing with the last point first, Councillor, any agreement entered into will bring to the attention of the incumbent tenant the position with the new pipework that has been laid there. I know it was previously damaged during the ownership period that forestry exercise, but that's a point worth noting and will be communicated to any tenant. The Schofield closure or use of the field by during the period of July has previously been a feature of the Conacre agreements that forestry would have exercised over that field. So that again will be reflected in any agreement entered into. And finally, the point you make about the Irish rare breed cattle, again, that's probably a valid point. And I will ensure that the wording of any advertisement take account of the fact that Irish rare breed cattle owners do not apply and that we've left with no tenant for that. So those points are all noted.
Okay, Councillor McMurray,
thank you.
Councillor Hannah.
Thank you, Chair. Question for Connor. Why are you going for 5 years and not 3 years? And the second question would be, is there an annual rate of inflation rise in the cost every year, or is it just what they get at the first year is the same as what they pay the fifth year?
Okay, I'm going to take Councillor Lewis in as well, just to try and wrap things up.
Thank you, Chair. It was just a point on Tarella there that I know that Fergal has been in touch with the land owners on opposite sides of Tarella there, and it was just to ensure that we check that the fencing is fixed and appropriate around the Tarella site, because the landowners have expressed in the past concerns that cattle can escape out of the site.
Okay, Fergal.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Lewis. Again, those points will be noted, and all of that will be taken account of in any agreements entered into. Councillor Hannah, the 5 year term is dictated by custom and practice. Usually, the Connacht agreements for these lands historically have been for 5 years, and will not, you know, as a rule, take account of inflation, and they'll be based on bids made by the prospective tenants and valuation reports. But that would generally be for the 5 year term.
Okay. So I do still need a proposer and seconder for that paper. Proposed by Councillor Howell. Can I have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor McMurray. Thank you. So we'll move on to item 6. It's the car park at Churchill Jonesborough, and we're Sam Fergal for this item.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this asset was one of the assets initially included in the Off Street car parking list of assets transferable from DFI. However, DFI advised in 2021 that this car park wasn't on the actual transfer list, but that position has now changed, and they are willing to transfer the car park to council under the scheme if council are in agreement. And this matter has gone to officers for consideration. Officers feel that the car park, whilst it mightn't offer much to service the off-street parking needs of the district, it may hold future potential. And for that reason, they are happy to allow the asset to be transferred at no cost to council. And that's the recommendation this evening, that this committee agree to the transfer of that asset.
Okay, we have a proposal from Councillor O'Mara. Did you want to speak, Mark?
Yeah, I suppose just reading down through the paper, the council have been maintaining the car park anyway, and you know you're right, it not take into account much, it'll not solve many of the off street parking needs in Jonesborough at the minute. But again, who knows down the line? We could be glad of it, so more than happy to propose.
Okay, and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Okay, and Pete or Councillor Byrne, you want to comment?
Yeah, thanks, Carol. Yeah, happy to support. Just the issue around, obviously, that car park has been used at the front of the graveyard. That is still the main graveyard in Jonesboro, because it's the graveyard that you have surrounds around, although the new graveyard's only lawn cemetery, so it's the most popular one. The access into it is a shared access for the private house and the graveyard. I know the church is obviously disused, but it's up for private sale, which will obviously be bought by somebody, and that will be private land as well. So you'll have two private pieces of land, one house, one that disused church, and the access to the graveyard. Have we any, do we have to maintain that access then? Because you've got the barrier, the height barrier, to stop lorries getting in there, that is open and closed by a caretaker of the graveyard. Have we any maintenance of that barrier, and have we any maintenance of the entrance into the graveyard? Because it's pretty poor at the minute. Since that's a disused church, it's all grown in and it's quite tight around that gate. And I see the gate of the graveyard is within that red line. But the access through the barrier is a tricky one. I always get when these things, when we get land transferred to ourselves, that it opens up a can of worms where you'll have the house up to the right-hand side saying that we have to maintain that dual access. So I'd just like to get a wee bit of more information on that, and hopefully it doesn't hamper anybody's entrance into the graveyard because you have to go across council land.
Sorry, Councillor Byrne, I would not be over the detail of that in sufficient detail to give you a clear answer on the access and on the legal obligations to maintain. What I would say as a broad general rule would be that our maintenance obligations would, on the face of it, be limited to the area within the red line on the map and to that area only. That would be the only area where we're assuming responsibility and ownership of.
Just a follow-up question, Chair. I just don't want there to be an issue with this going forward. If we can even notify neighbours of that, that it's been when it's transferred into council land, because what you could find is that the private house in there and when the church is bought will close off that access in if we're not maintaining it, because the barrier's in pretty poor shape as well. It's something that is going to throw up a problem down the lane if we don't tidy up who's responsible for the access in through. The car park itself, as Barrett had said, it's not going to solve the off-street car park in Jonesboro, but it's necessary around, especially the West and the Graves. It's right on the border there for people parking, for park and ride. I use it regularly, so I know a lot about it. But it's that access going in to the private land that we need to sort out, because to get onto the council land, you have to go through that access.
Is that something you can look at then, maybe?
Yeah, we can look into that. In fact, we can liaise with the DFI and the officer who's dealing with it, or historically who dealt with it within DFI to get some views on that in terms of going forward with it.
Okay, sure. Content with that, Councillor?
Yeah, I can follow up on that after. Yeah, thanks, sure.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to item 7, which is Moran Point Community Centre project governance proposal. And Caelan, you're taking this item.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this paper is a recommendation for the establishment and implementation of a project board, given the scale and complexity of this project. This governance body will assist the stakeholder engagement and decision making as we progress the design, the planning application through construction and handover. The terms of reference and membership of the project governance is detailed in Appendix 1, with council officers currently identified and elected members and other stakeholders to be confirmed following approval.
Okay, thank you, Caelan. Do we have a proposer and seconder? Sorry, Councillor Sharman, you're proposing. Did you want to speak?
Yeah, Chair. I'm happy with the approach, and it is consistent with other project boards that we had. For our two members, it'll be the two properly, Councillor McAteer and Councillor McKevitt.
Okay, thank you. Councillor O'Mara?
Yeah, I'm happy to second, and no issue with the process of it. That. It just was asked by Councillor Rowan just to raise a query just as the length of time that it's taken between different stages of it. He's of the opinion that it's been slowed down. He realises that there's been difficulties over the past couple of years, but he just wanted to know, was there any report or was there anything to suggest that things might start gathering pace?
Okay. Caelan, are you happy to come back on that? Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor. No, happy to report that a paper has been prepared and is bringing to AHC committee which I believe is next Wednesday, with the REBA Stage 2 report and concept design of that proposal. We are looking approval to proceed in the REBA Stage 3. We have a very tight programme, and we're hoping to submit the planning application within this calendar year. So there has been a lot of work that's been done in this last couple of months with the integrated consultancy team. And there will be stakeholder engagement following the approval of that paper.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so items 8 to 12 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3, part 1 of the Schedule 6 Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may be by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So if I can have a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please. Proposed by Councillor Murphy and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Thank you. So, whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 8, the Local Government Staff Commission, Dissolution Funding and Continuing Operations 2022-23. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed in relation to the Local Government Staff Commission, Dissolution Funding and Continuing Operations 2022-23 to approve the payment as recommended in the report. Item 9, Lease Storage Unit at Greenbank Industrial Estate. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to approve a lease of the storage unit at Greenbank Industrial Estate, Newry, for a period of 12 months at the agreed rental cost subject to full lease terms. There was a caveat agreed that it will be reviewed at senior management team level before we enter into a lease, and councillors will be kept updated. Item 10, the renewal of lease at Hilltown Household Recycling Centre. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hamlin, it was agreed to enter into a lease in respect to the Household Recycling Centre at Hilltown on the terms as set out in the report. For noting, item 11, the boundary rectification, Six Harbour Close, Kilkeel, amendment to rectification map previously approved. On the proposal of Councillor Hanna and seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to note the contents of this report. And that wraps up our SPNR meeting this evening. So safe home, everybody, and thanks very much.